where she sat, staid and taciturn looking as usual, in her brown stiff gown, her check apron, white handkerchief and cap. She was intent on her work, in which her whole thought seemed absorbed. On her hard forehead and in her commonplace features was nothing either of the paleness or desperation one would have expected to see marking the countenance of a woman who had attempted murder, and whose intended victim had followed her last night to her lair, and, as I believed, charged her with a crime she wished to perpetrate. I was amazed, confounded. She looked up while I still gazed at her. No start, no increase or failure of colour betrayed emotion, consciousness of guilt, or fear of detection. She said, "Good morning, miss," in her usual phlegmatic and brief manner, and taking up another ring and more tape, went on with her sewing. "I will put her to some test," thought I. "Such absolute impenetrability is past comprehension." "Good morning, Grace," I said. "Has anything happened here? I thought I heard the servants all talking together a while ago."
"Only Master had been reading in his bed last night. He fell asleep with his candle lit, and the curtains got on fire. But fortunately, he awoke before the bedclothes or the woodwork caught, and contrived to quench the flames with the water in the ewer."
"A strange affair," I said, in a low voice. Then, looking at her fixedly, "Did Mr. Rochester wake nobody? Did no one hear him move?" She again raised her eyes to me, and this time there was something of consciousness in their expression. She seemed to examine me warily. Then she answered,
"The servants sleep so far off, you know, miss. They would not be likely to hear. Mrs. Fairfax's room and yours are the nearest to Master's, but Mrs. Fairfax said she heard nothing.